everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Bob Dio. Bob engineering and producing the show. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday, December the 28th, 2018. Bob, this is actually the final live show, when you think about it, right? Our final live show of 2018, because everybody's going to take off New Year's Eve, so we'll have a previously aired program with segments that we feel are worth a second listen. And so there'll be some really good programs. Good one on Monday and Tuesday, actually, New Year's Day. We are on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted local news and talk station. We do all local talk here now from 6 a.m. to 7 o'clock in the evening under the new banner of Bustos Media, which the transition has gone very well. And also in our portfolio of stations, which will grow, we understand. But 106.3 FM is now part of our family. They'll be over here in the KVOI building very soon. That's the groove. So a little bit of music for you as part of our portfolio of Bustos Media. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, thanks to Dylan Smith for his work there in promoting what we do, Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, Dan Shear, Tucson Media Group and its portfolio of Tucson-based stations, not stations, publications. They're not competing with us in the radio business yet. Okay, but they include Inside Tucson Business and Tucson Weekly. Our Friday Focus interview, Tim Tamure, is with us, director of Tucson Water. Tim, how are you?
Doing well. Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure joining me to speak with Mr. Tamure. Do you remember, Sarah, for years I would say to question?
Yes, and it was always so
and yeah, to
evocative.
Question. And it's like you think of like round up all the available suspects,
right,
from Casablanca or something, and bring our guests into a single light bulb, you know, on the ceiling there. So now we've changed it to speak with...
Converse,
right. Sarah Garrett-Gasson is the editorial page editor and columnist for the area's largest newspaper. That's the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, I think a lot of us are concerned, and I posted on my Facebook page, get prepared right now. And we were doing some of it this morning with getting the geraniums under the back porch where they've got some protection. But as far as your area, this could be a problem, six straight nights below freezing when it comes to the water pipes.
It sure can. And in our most recent bill insert, we provided some tips for people for protecting their pipes when we have a winter condition like this. Very unusual for Tucson to have multiple nights in a row below freezing. And we're just not used to it, nor yeah. are our pipes. They're really not designed to withstand that. So you can be very proactive and disconnect your hose bits, do a number of things to make sure that your pipes make it through the next week.
We put towels and things around the pipes, the outside exposed part.
Any little bit will help, especially if any kind of insulation you can provide them. Just it's not supposed to be really a deep freeze.
No, so 28, we're talking 28 to 32, but for six consecutive nights.
Yeah, we need that. We need those warm days to help keep things from going into a deep freeze. But there's a number of things you can do, and reference our most recent bill insert for some key tips.
Yeah, because Sarah, I was even checking going back to the big freeze of 2011, because I had just started on the radio show, and I think we were like only a couple of weeks into January when that had happened, where we had that consecutive really, really cold.
Yeah.
Even then, though, Sarah, it was not six nights of right. below freezing. So this is really unusual.
It is. And a question you always heard, we all grew up in the Midwest, is, you know, just leave your faucet on kind of dripping.
Good
Does
point.
That really work?
It can certainly work, especially the cold water, because, you know, you don't want to have that hot water that could be really damaging to your pipes, you know, if you have ice forming in it. Really, it's just to keep the water flowing enough to keep flowing water is harder to freeze than still water, I guess is the best way to put that. Mm-hmm. But really where we see it is right at where your hose connections are at the base of your house. If you just disconnect the hose, it keeps that water from, you know, being built up there and freezing overnight.
So disconnect there would be the place to do it.
Correct.
And then you wouldn't have to worry about the dripping faucets inside the house?
Any level of prevention you want to take is a good idea. I mean, it's 1 week out of the year.
Yeah, and it could be expensive if a pipe bursts.
That's correct. The little bit of a dripping water is nothing compared to the amount of water that goes through your meter if you have a pipe burst.
I've got all sorts of questions, and I know Sarah does as well, but let's get this first one out of the way about the what's called PFCS. I think the people don't really understand a lot of the backstory of this, but I want to hear from you, Tim, what's the bottom line about our water?
The bottom line is the water that we serve to Tucson customers is safe. It's safe, including when we look at perfluorinated compounds or PFCs. PFCs are part of our environment. They are in everyday products, Scotchgard, Teflon. The materials used to keep grease out of your pizza box. So they're surrounding us in the environment, and they have found their way into the local groundwater. Tucson's not alone in that. It's really a worldwide problem right now. And as far as how Tucson is managing that from our water supply, we do have a number of wells that are turned off that contain the chemicals in it, and we make sure that that water is not served to customers. And where we do have supplies where there are trace amounts of it, we manage that water supply to be well below the EPA's health advisory on those chemicals. And in most cases, it's actually non-detectable. We don't even find it in the water that we're serving in most cases. So we're very proactive on it. We've done a lot of work to make sure that the water is safe. And so it is safe for all the typical uses, and but it's an issue we're going to have to deal with for a long time, because now that it's found its way into the groundwater, it's going to be a long time for us to get that cleaned back up.
When you say that you manage it, what does that mean?
There's in most cases, management means we turn off the supply that has it. But in one case, we do have a well field that feeds a treatment facility, and our management there is we have two main strategies. One is we blend water that comes from that facility with other water that doesn't contain perfluorinated compounds. That's one strategy. And the other is we're actually right now in the middle of changing out what's called granular activated carbon. It was installed at that treatment facility not to remove PFCs. It was installed for a different reason, but it just so happens that it does remove PFCs. So we're actually changing out that carbon in that treatment facility so that it will even further reduce the perfluorinated compounds.
I don't know if this is a good analogy, but the image that's coming to mind is like the charcoal filters in a fish tank. Is that the same sort of idea?
It's very much the same sort of idea. Charcoal or carbon is a very effective water treatment chemical, and it can do a variety of things. But what's important to note is there's all kinds of different carbon out there. So it doesn't just mean any carbon filter will do. You have to really understand the type of carbon you're working with and how it becomes effective. So that's really the change we're making at the one facility, is putting in a carbon that's even better at perfluorinated compound management.
Got all sorts of questions that came in on Facebook concerning water. Will there be enough, Tim Timur, for water to sustain growth here for the next 100 years, this Facebook friend asks?
Well, that's our job, is to make sure that we do have enough water. We always are needing to demonstrate 100 years worth of water supply. That's one of the requirements in Arizona, which is actually unique to Arizona and one of the reasons Arizona is very proactive on water supply. And we've done a lot of things over the last several decades, making sure we have a diverse water supply portfolio, the significant amount of conservation we've done, and the amount of water we've stored for the future in our local groundwater really sets Tucson apart and puts us in a position where even with drought, even with potential shortages on some of our supplies, we certainly do have enough to get us for the long term out to 100 years.
And this a friend also asks, is there a great water collapse coming perhaps with shortages on the Colorado?
when the Colorado River goes into shortage, which could be as soon as 2020, we're now not talking about something way out in the future. This is right around the corner. There won't be a collapse per se. It doesn't mean that there will be no water from the Colorado River. It just means it'll be reduced and maybe even be reduced below the ability to meet all of our commitments. So what Tucson's been doing to prepare for that is to make sure that we live well below our allocation. So to put it into some terms, we have about 50% more rights to Colorado River water than we actually use on an annual basis. In years where that water is available, we do take it and we put it in the ground for the future. And in years where it's not available, it would have to be a very, very deep shortage before it would even reduce us below our demand. And even when that time comes, that's what that storage we've been doing for the future is for.
A savings account?
It's exactly like a savings account. We've got about 4 years' worth of water in our savings account. That's all from the Colorado River. And then we've got another 50 years of groundwater beyond that. It's our last resort to go back to groundwater, but it's certainly there for us in times of need.
And Sarah, we would be in terrible condition if we did not have the CAP.
Yes, we would.
Because we were using groundwater quickly.
Yes, yeah.
I think we were like the largest city in the country that was dependent on groundwater.
Until about 2001, we were the largest city dependent on groundwater. In the U.S., we did start our reclaimed water system in the mid-1980s, which was our first step toward getting off of sole reliance on groundwater. That still meets about 10% of our demand, so it's very important. And then when we were able to bring in Colorado River water, it really changed the game in Tucson and made us a much more sustainable community. But that doesn't mean it's not have its own threats, its own drawbacks that we have to be prepared for.
We're going to take a break right here, 790-2040. If any of our listeners would like to ask a question about water, now is the time to do it. This portion of our program presented by my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery. Sarah, we had a Danish Kringle, courtesy of Mona's, that was brought into the station actually over the last two Fridays, and they disappeared. The Kringle, a nice big Kringle, was gone like before you could believe it. I mean, it was just, people love that.
That's great. Sorry I missed that.
Yeah. Have you had the Danish Kringle, Tim?
I have not. You've mentioned this to
me
before.
Yes, I have. Mm-hmm.
And I need to get on my Kringle game.
You do. You need to get up to Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, and they have the Danish Kringle there, and they're very proud of it. They had a great holiday season, but, you know, we've got the New Year's Eve coming up and New Year's morning. Wouldn't a Kringle be great to start your new year with that lovely pastry? Danish Kringle, go to monasdanishbakery.com. There's also a link at my website, buckmastershow.com, not only to Mona's, but all of our great sponsors. We'll be right back with Tim Tamuer. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Buckmaster Show. Happy New Year, everybody. A little bit of Old Anxiety from the Dan Fogelberg song. Tim Tomier is with us. Tim, you know that song very well, and you know about Dan Fogelberg. Like myself, he's an Illinois native. What do you know about that song?
Well, Dan Fogelberg was a student at the University of Illinois, where I went to my undergrad, and the grocery store where he met his old lover. I've actually been in that grocery store.
Is that very close to in Champaign near the campus?
Very close to campus, just right on the other side of the tracks.
That
very
is cool. One of the saddest songs.
I know. I know. Well, yeah, it is sad.
Yeah.
But we'll move on, I guess. but it's I love the song.
It's a great song.
Yeah, it is a great song. And Tim Fogelberg left us far too soon. A really talented guy. Tim is with us. Tim Tomier. Tomier. I finally think I've got it. Tomier?
I think you got it.
I think I got it. Sarigard Gasson is here from the Arizona Daily Star. We've been talking about water and allocation. And I think one of the things that we have to talk about is cost of water and what is the cost going to be like in years to come. We were talking in the first segment, Tim, about, you know, supply. We seem to be covered on the supply side, but what about cost?
We do expect costs for water to go up as it becomes more and more scarce. And Tucson Water's financial plan has really already taken that into account. So when we do our 5-year projections of the cost of water, we have made some assumptions that there would be shortages on the CAP or the Colorado River and what that would mean from a cost perspective. So we've already actually built that into our financial plan. So our customers should not expect to see their water bills go up into double-digit rate increases or anything of that nature. We're actually going to be our annual rate increases are actually going down year over year over the next several years, and our commitment is to try to manage cost for the customer in that way. So we've really done some things with how we structure our debt and other things within our financial plan so that increasing cost of water when we purchase it from the Colorado River won't really show up on the bottom line to our customer.
Sarah?
When you talk about 50 years into the future for having kind of a supply, that's not, I mean, that's seems like a long time, but it's also not really a long time. And so my question is, how do you keep that going and extend that? And what, if anything, are you doing with regards to preparing for climate change, things like that?
Certainly, we're not just sitting back waiting for the cliff to come to us with regard to water supply. So the 50 years is if we didn't get another drop of water from the Colorado River, and we know that that's not a realistic scenario. There will always be some water coming from the Colorado River. It just might not be as much as we're used to. So we're expecting under most scenarios to actually have enough water indefinitely. But we've been storing water for the future. We've got quite a bit of water in the ground that we can use. And then we're also looking at increasing our use of local rain and stormwater. That's where a lot of our efforts have been over the last few years, because that's a supply that has largely been untapped in Tucson. And as we build in more and more infrastructure to capture and use rainwater, that's going to be another way to buffer ourselves against a shortage on the Colorado River. And then there's also recycled water. Through our reclaimed water system, which meets about 10% of our demand, we really only use on an annual basis about a third of the recycled water that we have access to. The rest is stored for the future in our aquifers. So we actually have some additional water supplies that we could put to greater use even in the near term if we needed to. So we've got a series of strategies that will extend that time frame indefinitely.
One of our Facebook friends says a 1% growth rate would mean our population doubles in 70 years. Do we have enough water for twice the population? And 1% seems very modest.
I would say 1% is probably a fairly accurate projection of what we've been seeing. We've not returned to the growth rates we saw before the Great Recession, but we've seen pretty steady growth. Mm-hmm. What we've observed and been able to bring about over the last decade is to kind of decouple population growth from water demand increase. For a long time, as population grew, so did water demand. But that has not been true over the last 15 years. We've actually been able to live within the same total amount of water, even with significant economic growth and population growth. In fact, on our potable system, we're serving about 200,000 people more than we did in the mid-1980s with the same amount of water. So as long as we keep conservation foremost in our minds and we're efficient with our water supplies, an increasing population does not necessarily mean an increasing water demand.
All right, let's go to the live line. Denny has a question. Go ahead, Denny.
Yep. Hey, Cam.
Denny?
What do you think? Hello.
Hello.
Sorry about that. Cam, what do you think about a desalination plant down at Rocket Point? Would that supply Tucson?
It's very likely that a desalination plant on the Sea of Cortez or the Gulf of California could supply Tucson, either directly or indirectly. There are a number of folks in Arizona and regionally looking at the potential for such a plant, and that is something that Tucson will certainly track and invest in if it looks like something really could come forward as far as an actual product or an actual project there. You don't have to even bring that water all the way to Tucson for it to benefit Tucson. If you can get it to Imperial Dam in California, then you've reached the Colorado River system and we could do exchanges and other things. So in the long term, certainly adding a new supply like desalinated seawater could be a solution for Tucson and Arizona.
Would so-called reclaimed water, is that in our future?
We already have reclaimed water for non-potable use. Reclaimed water for potable use could be in our future. That's at least two or three decades out before we'd really be looking seriously at that. We did take a really hard look at it over the last decade, because before we really got conservation going at the rate it has been today, our water total water demand was going to outstrip our water supplies. And so we were looking at potable reuse as a realistic option. That's something that we've now been able to push out for a couple decades, but we are helping the state of Arizona come up with the framework for how to do that properly, how to do that safely, so that it would be available to in Tucson if we ever did need it. But it's not in our near-term horizon.
Is the technology there for to make reclaimed water viable? Is on a large scale?
It absolutely is, and in fact, there's communities in Texas that are already using potable reuse as a core water supply, and there's a lot of under development in California, where they're looking at about up to 3.5 million acre feet per year, which is a heck of a lot of water that could ultimately go through potable reuse. And it's everywhere from San Diego all the way up to San Francisco that communities are investing in this. And probably the next big one is San Diego. El Paso, Texas is pretty close as well.
All right. So let me see. I've got maybe one more. I can work in one more question here. Where would we be? One of our Facebook friends wants to know, what if we hadn't had CAP? What would have happened to Tucson and water?
If we hadn't had CAP, we'd be in a very different situation. It certainly moved us significantly from an over-reliance on groundwater and being, at the time, not sustainable for the long term. It really changed the game in Tucson and put us in a much better position. I'd like to believe we could have found other ways to reach sustainability even if we hadn't had it, but it's really hard to imagine. It's such a significant part of what makes Tucson sustainable that I'm grateful every day that we actually have the access to the CAP that we do have.
And the 50-year anniversary, I believe, was last year of
that's,
the CAP.
That's correct. Yeah, we're only a couple days left to celebrate.
Well, there you go. All right, Tim Tomier, thank you very much. Tim, Director of Tucson Water. And again, tonight, folks, and for the next couple of nights, be mindful of covering all of the pipes or you can go to the Tucson Water website, right? There's information, Tim?
Absolutely, yep.
Okay, about some tips about what's good and might be a combination of letting things drip and disconnecting the hose at its base outside, but whatever will work for you. The important thing is prepare and also prepare for all of your animals. Be mindful of keeping them safe and warm. Bring them inside if at all possible. And of course, all of your frost-sensitive plants, make sure they are covered. Tim, thank you very much, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you very much. We'll take our break right here on the Buckmaster Show. Sarah Garrett-Gasson sticks around for another segment. We're looking ahead in the next segment with Luigi Del Puerto from the Arizona Capital Times. Lots to talk about with Luigi. Sarah, it's hard to believe, but the legislative session is now just a couple of weeks away.
I know. It seems like
I was thinking it was like going to be, had to look this up. Usually it's the first Monday for the State of the State, but the swearing in is going to be, well, the first, it's not going to be till the 14th that the session opens. So I think everybody gets sworn in on Friday the 7th, and then we'll get into that with Luigi.
Yes.
He'll have all the details for us about the upcoming session. Let's take our break right here. It's Buckmaster on a Friday.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday edition. We had our newsmaker interview with the director of Tucson Water, reminding everybody, cover up those pipes so we don't have any frozen pipes, and that can be a big issue, certainly cost-wise, with six consecutive nights of below-freezing temperatures awaiting us. Let's go to Phoenix now. Luigi Del Puerto is the associate publisher of the Arizona Capital Times. He's the editor of the Capital Times. Luigi, how are you, sir?
Good, sir. How are you?
Doing very well. Luigi on the live line with us, and in studio with me is Sarah Garrett Gasson, the editorial page editor and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. So, Luigi, the state of the state is January the 14th. Is that correct?
The first session is going to be the second Monday of next year, which falls on January 14th. Typically, we have them, you know, we start session that second week. And this would be, lawmakers would, and others, of course, will have a few more days of sort of, that calm before the storm, if you will.
Yeah, and swearing in, I guess, is then going to be the Friday before the start of the session. Is that correct?
Oh, the swearing-in ceremony, in fact, is going to be on January 7th, Monday.
Okay.
And so we'll have, you know, the six new... well, they're not new, but some of them are new. Mm-hmm. They're all going to be swearing in that Monday, January 7th.
What's the big issue? Is there a marquee issue? I know we talked to you last year before the session. Everyone was pointing, Sarah, to education.
Absolutely.
Yeah, being a front burner
agenda item. I wonder now, after the big dust up last year with Red for Ed, and then the governor conceding that there would be pay raises coming, I wonder how education, Luigi, will play here in the new session. What are your thoughts?
It will be one of the biggest issues of the 2019 session. The governor gave or promised 20% pay raise for teachers over 3 years. So we had, year one effectively was 10%. That includes the 1% pay raise the year before. And so this year it's another 5%, and next year it's another 5%. There are other big K-12 issues. Notably, a lot of them will be solved by money. And so the question then is, what's the appetite for this legislature to allocate more funding in addition to the pay increases already promised to the teachers? I don't see the governor or this legislature sort of walking back on their vow to give teachers a pay raise. So any money that K-12 will get will be in addition to those pay hikes.
Would it be inconceivable to walk back that 5% expected raise? I mean, that would really cause all sorts of political shockwaves, wouldn't it, Luigi?
It would, and I don't think the governor is keen on any kind of political shockwave. I think you saw the governor realize as the teachers were preparing to strike that this is something that he needs to have a very good handle of. And, if you recall, he initially offered the teachers a very minute pay raise. And as a result of the Red for Ed movement, the governor was persuaded to, to give them what they were asking for. I don't think they, some of us didn't think that the governor would actually give them what they exactly asked for, which was 20%. Now, it's 20% over 3 years. But I don't think the governor, and neither do the new leaders of the legislature would want that kind of a political shockwave that would emanate from, walking back on that promise.
Here's Sarah Garrett-Gaston of The Star.
When we were doing endorsement interviews for the editorial board, we had candidates, from both sides of the aisle come in, and again we heard candidates from both sides of the aisle talk about, well, what we really need to do is get a group together and go through the tax code and close loopholes and really see what is what and in the tax code and see how we can maybe find some extra money, find in air quotes, of course. So, Luigi, I'm curious, do you see that happening? Do you see any way for a bipartisan group to work together and go through things like that?
If you're referring to this idea that's been floating around for many years now to close the quote-unquote tax loopholes, I don't see a bipartisan group, and even if one were to be convened, I don't see that group advancing, getting anywhere far. And part of the reason is, despite the fact that we now have a very narrow partisan ratio in the state legislature, particularly in the House, this legislature remains largely conservative, and that means any suggestion of a tax hike would be very difficult to get through. What you would likely see is other forms of or other proposals to raise revenues. And I think one notable one would be what the governor just proposed, which is, instead of doing conformity, conformity to the tax changes done by Congress, instead of doing changing our tax rates, for example, so that we don't see extra money, which is what many conservative Republicans want to do next year, the governor has proposed, look, let's not change the rates. Let's keep the deductions, the standard deductions that we currently offer at the state level as is, and get any revenue as a result of the federal income tax overhaul. We're expecting some windfall for the state as a result of that. And he's saying, look, let's put the money in the rainy day fund. Now, once you decide to put that money in the rainy day fund, what happens then is that you will see a discussion over, you know, exactly what to do with that amount, whether to keep it in the rainy day fund or spend it for K-12, for example. There will be other proposals that you would see to try and raise money for K-12. I know Senator Kate Brophy McGee will be looking at some sort of a modern Prop 301. Is there a possibility of tweaking that so that we sort of modernize that? And really, modernization in this sense would be finding a ways to perhaps increase the revenue source from Prop 301. That's a larger discussion, and obviously would be considered a tax hike. That's a harder push. But so far, right now, the economy, Arizona's economy, seems to be doing well, and I think the governor is anticipating more revenue as a result of, for now at least, a stronger economic footing. And I think that's where the money will come from for K-12.
We're going to be speaking, hopefully, she is scheduled to be with us, the incoming Senate President Karen Fan. That will be next Friday. And I believe she's only the second woman that has held that Senate President position. What is the new leadership looking like for this legislative session? And as the House gets closer to parity after the last election, is there going to be more of an effort to, can't we all just get along?
Well, that's very insightful. You know, what you have is a legislature that, as a result of the last election, is more equitable in the partisan ratio, particularly in the House. What really that means is that the House Republicans cannot afford to lose a single vote. And that gives more influence, if you will, to a quiet candidate, people in the middle, the sort of the pragmatists, the moderates, if you will, folks like Michelle Udall, for example. In the Senate, you have Kate Brophy McGee is considered a centrist. You have joining her would be Heather Carter, another centrist or pragmatist. So really what you're looking at is a more pragmatic legislature. And I think, overseeing that whole ideological moorings in the state legislature would be the governor's own ideological moorings. And what we've seen with his governor is he's sort of, you know, I hate to put it that way, but quite candidly, he's sort of the middle of the caucus. If you really scrutinize his actions, he's run as a conservative, but sort of governed as a pragmatist. So you'll be looking at the governor and where he is, and he'll fall somewhere in the middle. And you'll be looking at folks like Heather Carter and Kate Brophy McGee. And, of course, Rusty Bowers is an old pro. He has been around, long enough to figure out how this game is played, if you will. And while he is a conservative, there's no doubt about that. He's also seen as somebody who's pragmatic and who wants to get things done. And I think Karen Fan is in the same vein.
And, of course, he, Rusty Bowers, is the incoming House Speaker.
House Speaker,
yeah.
That's right.
So it sounds like you're saying we could see not so much infighting within the legislature this time around. Perhaps,
Well, I would not go that far.
Okay.
The reason I wouldn't go that far is because there's actually more money to fight over in this upcoming session. And, you know, in the last several years, we didn't have enough sufficient funds, and I don't think we'll ever have sufficient as funds as we would like. But there's more money to fight over next year. And when that happens, you'll see, sort of a logical extension. You'll see more fighting, whether infighting or inter-party fighting.
All right, Sarah, another quick question before we say goodbye.
When we're talking about kind of the centrist or the pragmatist, do you see, and I find this very interesting, seeing the dynamic within the Republican Party between the very, very conservative, like Kelly Ward types, who's no longer there, and then these sort of more pragmatic, practical speaking members of the Republican Party. How do you think that's going to play out?
Well, I think it's going to play out how it's sort of always played out in the last couple of years, which is that when you have a big issue, let's say K-12 education, let's zero in on, let's say, JTED funding. If you remember, if you can recall, you know, they cut JTED funding a couple of years ago.
Right.
And then you saw the reaction from the JTEDs, and before you know it, everybody wants to be the sponsor to return the money to JTEDs. That's sort of an extreme example of how when you have an issue that has a lot of support from a lot of segments of society, you'll see the sort of the legislature act. And I mention that because I think the centrists in both the Senate and the House have a very good feel, a very good sense of where the public is on K-12 education and perhaps even on other issues. So you will see them lead. And you will also see the governor very actively try and tamp down controversial measures. Now, it's always tough to do that because it's an election. I'm sorry. It's always tough to do that one because any member of the legislature, there's 90 of them, can sponsor any controversial legislation. The governor has, in fact, done a pretty good job of making sure none of them gets to his desk. And you'll see that kind of a and you'll see him work very hard to ensure he doesn't see those kinds of measures his desk. And
the so-called wacko legislation.
if you wanna describe him as such, I think. You know, this is a governor that wants Arizona to be seen as this sort of this shining desert, if you will.
Yeah.
A beacon of light, some place that's good for business to go to. Oh. And we have when you have what you consider wacko legislation reaching his desk, it puts him in a bind, and it's not a good image for the state. And he tries very hard.
Gotta go.
We won't have to go through that.
Luigi Del Puerto, editor of the Arizona Capital Times. Happy New Year to you, Luigi. We'll check in with you in the new year. Thank you, sir.
Happy New Year.
Thanks a lot, Luigi. Appreciate that. Sarah, anything we should think about for the Sunday Arizona Daily Star?
Well, I am very pleased to say that we are printing the list of every letter writer to the editor, letter to the editor. Yeah, we had more than 6,000 individual letters that we printed, and those came from more than 3,000 people.
That's
so
very good.
It's a big list, and we're happy to have it.
I'm very happy that you're doing that. Have a very happy New Year, Sarah. We so much appreciate your participation in this program. Thank you.
Happy to be here. Thank you. Happy New Year.
Mona's Danish Bakery is excited about the new year. How about a Danish Kringle for your Christmas? No, we've already had Christmas. For your New Year's Eve morning and, more importantly, perhaps New Year's Day morning as you watch the Tournament of Roses parades with a Danish Kringle and a nice cup of coffee or tea. That sounds really good, doesn't it? Go to Mona's Danish Bakery for more about Steve and his team. They're at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, and everybody at Mona's wants to wish all of the Buckmaster Show listeners a very happy new year. We'll be back with Weekend Watch with Matt Russell right after this. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Stir it up, baby. It's time for Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Only about a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the many great places to stay and all of those great recreation opportunities, including hanging out in historic Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. A great place. If you've got some time off over the new year, check it out, a beautiful part of the southwestern United States. Here's the host now of Weekend Watch, the longtime host. We'll be celebrating here on the Buckmaster Show 8 full years in January. We'll begin our 9th year. Matt's been with us since the beginning. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist, today wearing his 2019 party hat. And he's got one of those funny little those paper deals that you blow into. And, yo, Happy New Year, Matt.
I think I'm going to keep the hat on all year long.
I hope so. Hey, this is a huge weekend. The big game, the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl tomorrow. Is there a downtown block party this year?
Yeah, they do it every year, and this year is no exception. Actually, it's happening, the Arizona Bowl downtown block party at Armory Park. It actually gets underway at 3 o'clock. Today, live music will get all the fans in bowl game spirit with marching bands, mascots, cheerleaders from both of the schools. Of course, there's going to be plenty of great food and beer from local restaurants and breweries that are absolute musts. The block party, again, is today from 3 to 8 p.m. at Armory Park.
Is there a bacon connection to the new year?
I couldn't let an opportunity pass to celebrate my beloved bacon for the final time this year.
I knew it.
Sunday will be my chance at the Bacon and Mead Pairing Party at 1912 Brewing Company from 1 to 5. The popular food truck Daniela's Cooking will be plating up all the varieties of bacon, which will be paired with a flight of different meads. Now, mead, of course, is a spirituous beverage made from fermented honey and fruits and spices, and its origin dates all the way back to 7,000 B.C. Salty and savory bacon with sweet meads? Yes, please. Sunday at 1912 Brewing.
This is the New Year's Eve edition of Weekend Watch. Any tips for us?
Yeah, my favorite dinner of the year for New Year's Eve. Looks like it's going to be at the Parish for their Whiskey and Wagyu dinner. Each of the five courses features a different expression of Wagyu beef, of course, the finest beef known to mankind, with a different cocktail made with local Whiskey Del Bac. You're going to see dishes with smoked Wagyu marrow, chicory-rubbed Wagyu, steamed Wagyu dumplings, mushrooms fried in Wagyu fat, Bill. The corresponding cocktails are just as imaginative. Now, there's only a few seats left, so go to theparishtucson.com to see the full menu and to make your reservations for what I know will be a delicious New Year's Eve.
Talk to you next year. Thank you, Matt. Happy New Year, buddy.
To you, too.
All right. Matt Russell done such a great job for us. So does Bob Dio. Bob, my engineer producer. Thanks, Bob, for great work over the past couple of months here as you become our new engineer producer. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you and presented by Buckmaster Communications, wholly responsible for the content of the program. Very short on time, so I want to make it a very blanket Happy New Year to everybody here at Bustos Media, the entire team in support of our program. Steve Rivera is next. Have a great weekend. Happy New Year, everybody.